You're currently listening to Screamin' Jansons with the tune Track 3 from the Attention Deficit EP. Before this, Romish 111 with Comerum from the Mutation EP. And that's about it for me for today. I'm DJ Firefly. You've been listening to Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. Feel free to check out my website at djfirefly.com. It's the best way to get in touch with me. And I have all of my old shows posted up there for you to listen to.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
WRCT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
I'm Andrew Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up. Do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Oh, Thank you. WRCT Pittsburgh.
So I wanted to talk to you all a little bit about conceptualizing spirituality in Black faith communities and the cultural schemas that exist around prayer, illness, and healing. But first, let me tell you just a little bit about myself. So I was raised in the Midwest by a family that pretty much migrated from the South. And so I was raised in a very firm Southern Christian Baptist faith, very traditional. My grandfather was a deacon in the church. My grandmother was a mother in the church. I was a junior nurse. I was in the junior choir. We went to church every Sunday, most Wednesdays and some Saturdays. And as a matter of fact, in my household, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, there really wasn't much else you could do the rest of the week. It was off limits. Growing up in the church really did instill in me a lot of the lessons that have given me the strength to be the woman that I am today. What I learned very early in that setting was that God heals us. Prayer heals us. And those messages were bountiful throughout the church. I could recite songs that kind of speak to that. If you think about Psalm 147:3, it tells us that God heals the brokenhearted. He binds up our wounds. I can remember my earliest testimony. I was maybe 9 or 10, and I had a situation where I was getting ready to go somewhere, and in the Midwest, we have basements. I know that's not something that you guys have, mostly in Texas, but we were a working class family, so we had an unfinished basement. I was going down the stairs, and I tripped. Right before I hit what would have been the concrete floor, my foot caught on the railing. That was God. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. We prayed about it, and everyone talked about what a good Christian kid I was and how I was saved, and that my prayer is what healed me that day. Sometimes the spoken and unspoken messages in the church is that if you're strong, of good faith, and you lean not unto your own understanding, and definitely not the understanding of others, then God will save you and heal you. However, what I've learned over time is that that message can sometimes incapacitate Black women's ability to seek help when they need it. I remember very vividly a story of a woman that I was working with once, collecting data, who was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And she belonged to the Kojic faith, so the Church of God in Christ. She recounted to me the story of how she went to church after her diagnosis had been revealed, and they tried an exorcism on her to remove the bipolar disorder from her, and how damaging that experience was for her. This is not uncommon when you think about the conflict in spirituality between faith communities and mental health recovery. For African American women, and for most Black women, we are held to these cultural stereotypes, these tropes. I'm sure some of you have heard of them. The superwoman, where we can do anything and everything all the time, perfectly. Oftentimes at a consequence to ourselves. There's also the trope of the mammy, where we are the nurturer. Come to us with your troubles, talk to us, we will listen to you and take care of you. If you're in our family, if you're in our community, if you're outside of both of those things, our arms are always open and welcome. You've probably also have heard about the sapphire. This is this angry Black woman who has this unbridled anger, who's enraged all of the time. These tropes that kind of circle around our own community impact Black women specifically because we spend a good deal of time either trying to counter all of those narratives, we're none of those things. We try very much so to own each of those different pieces of ourselves, or we try to navigate and find a way to vacillate between those different narratives. I am this or I'm not this. And it can be exhausting. It can cause some significant mental health distress. These challenges with our mental health histories for Black women, oftentimes because we serve in those roles,